said it before and I'll say it again, it is such a blessing to stand up here and sometimes turn around and hear the voices of the saints of God. And I imagine what God is hearing and how God is smiling. You know, what we do here does affect things that take place in heaven. It said when one who is lost becomes found, that the angels themselves rejoice. Did you ever think about that? Heaven, which is perfect, but when you found Jesus Christ, you made heaven better. Did you ever think about that? When you found Jesus, you made heaven better. It must be because it made the angels rejoice. What we do here affects what goes on in heaven. And if I can find enjoyment out of hearing you saying, "I love you, Lord," to someone else, imagine what God is experiencing. He knows how hard your life is. He knows what's going on in your world. And yet, you have come before Him this morning and you're saying, "I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you." I know that God is smiling. I know that God is smiling because He so loves the praises of His people. He so loves the worship of His people. And that's why we're here this morning. And occasionally I mention that Three Stones Church, the idea behind Three Stones is that of worship, evangelism, and discipleship. That is what the Three Stones stand for, and that is what God is calling us as a body to do, to first and foremost worship Him, to secondly go and tell others about who He is, and then to bring those in and help them learn to do the work that God is calling them to do, for that is discipleship. And to do those things, we have to know who God is, who it is that we worship, who it is that we tell other people about, and what it is He wants them to do. We have to know who God is, and I sometimes get concerned with society, well, for many, many reasons, but also this a little over-familiarity with God. Not that we shouldn't be familiar and intimate with Him, but sometimes a lack of reverence, maybe, for who God is. I read an article recently that says, Jesus is not your homeboy. You know, Jesus is our brother. God is our Father. He loves us in a very intimate way, but there is still a great reverence to be had. The Jewish temple was built, but the door was low, so they remembered that when they bowed to go in. They were forced physically to bow to go in to remember whose presence they were entering. God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. This is the God whom we serve. And so, yes, God wants us to have joy in our life and fun in our life. He wants us to feel close and to approach His throne boldly. The veil has been torn down and we may approach directly. But remember, we are approaching the throne of God. We may approach, but remember who it is that you're approaching. And so this morning, I want to read a few things about that God in heaven. I said earlier this week that to some folks, we're going to talk about the sovereignty of God today. And that word in theological terms sometimes is a little bit of a tough word to use because there's some discussion between different schools of thought, between Calvinism and Arminianism and all that kind of stuff, and we're not going to get into that, but we're going to talk about a sovereign God, and sovereignty is one who is sovereign, has complete authority, complete power, complete ability and right to do as He wishes over that which He reigns, and our God is the King of everything, so He has complete rule, right, and authority over everything. And we need to remember that the God we serve is a big God. And I'm going to read briefly from the 40th chapter of Isaiah and then move to Psalm 24. "To whom will you compare me?" says the Holy One. "Who is my equal? Lift your eyes up and look to the heavens. Who created all these? Who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name? Because of His great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. We may trust on that power that comes from God because it is an unending source of strength and power. We do stumble and fall, but we can rely on one who never does, who never slumbers, who never sleeps, who never looks away. The Almighty, all-powerful, powerful, omnipotent, omniscient God. And now the 24th Psalm. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, he who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false, he will receive the blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your gates. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Let us pray. Almighty God, how we thank you that we can indeed approach your throne, that when Jesus came and died and paid that final sacrifice, that only true sacrifice, that sacrifice of his blood, that the physical veil in that temple was torn, showing them and showing us that Christ is the mediator that takes us to you, that we may now indeed approach you. And Lord, we thank you for that. The Father, in a world where your name is increasingly mocked, where the idea of an almighty God is sometimes even in your churches watered down, when you are forgotten by so much of the world, Father, I ask that we, your people, grasp for as much understanding as we can have. We know you're beyond our understanding, but as much understanding as we can have, Lord, I ask for it here this morning. That we could receive some sort of knowledge, some sort of perspective on the strength and might and power that is Jehovah God. That is you. May we know better whom we serve. May we know better what you offer to us, so that we would indeed walk boldly, humbly, but boldly in this world, knowing that you walk before us, that you open doors for us so that we may boldly walk through those doors. You open ears that they may hear what we have to say. You open hearts that they may be moved by our words when you call us. So, Father, this morning, here, during our time together, Lord, move us, open our eyes to see the greatness, the might, the sovereignty that is you. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a verse in Isaiah that where it says that God's word, when sent out, never returns void, never returns empty. And in discussion with Randy the other day, says how important it is that we actually know that word so that when we put it out, it is that word of God that's going out. Because if it is that word of God that's going out, we can trust that it will indeed not return void. And I don't think it's just me that has seen this kind of consistent denigration of who God is. We know we see it outside. We see people on TV and elsewhere mock Christianity, mock who God is, disregard who God is. He just goes unnoticed, which is unbelievable if you think that the Creator of the world living with us could go unnoticed. But what I find more disturbing is when the people of God lose the focus on who God is, on His power and His might and His capabilities and what He offers to us. God is indeed sovereign over the entire universe, over everything. And sometimes we struggle a little bit with that thought because we say, well, if God is God, then why is there this? And that's a tough question sometimes. And I think that believers need to struggle with that, need to wrestle with that, need to pray with that, with those thoughts. Because God has an answer for us. And it may not be just one answer, but we need to work that out so that we can talk to people. Because I believe of all things that cause people to question the existence of God, it's the evil that's in the world. So if you say God is sovereign over all, how can this stuff exist? Well, I don't have a complete answer for that, but I do know that men have free will given to us by an almighty God. And He has allowed us for a period of time, which seems an awfully long time in our minds. But our lives are but a brief whisper. Our lives here on earth are but a brief whisper in the halls of eternity. And so we can discuss and debate why it is that God allows these things to happen in our lives and in our world. But part of it is because we live in a fallen world because of the free will given to man and the mistakes that they made initially, the mistake made in the garden that caused them to be moved out of the garden, and the mistakes that we continue to make. And for whatever reason, God chooses to allow us to continue until the time when Jesus will return. Now, we can get a little glimpse of this, and this is kind of a ongoing pattern. And when I talk about God, I like to talk about our own families. And it's not a perfect metaphor, but I do think it is something that God has put in place to allow us to understand Him a little bit. And that sometimes we let children do things in order that they learn, in order that they grow stronger, in order that they begin to make right decisions on their own. When we could force a child to do something, but we don't get the final result we want if we force them to do it. Is that making a little bit of sense? That sometimes we want children to be a loving, responsible part of the family. And so we give them opportunities to do things and opportunities to fail. Because when that happens, they become stronger. And when they make the decision on their own to be part of the family, that bond is stronger. And so I think part of the answer is that God has given us this free will and allowed us to do things in order to make the bond stronger when we come to Him. And God has indeed offered and extended every possibility for people to come to Him. In the body of His Son, He opened the gates to heaven. The world that was lost outside. He opened the gates to heaven through His Son. And through the body of Christ in the world today, we are responsible to share that news with others so that they may enter those same gates. But make no mistake about it. For whatever reason it is, because His ways are above our ways, His thoughts are above our thoughts, His understanding we cannot fathom, but whatever the reasons that are that God allows these things to happen. God is in control. This is my Father's world. Amen. And while we may not understand a certain amount of things that are going on now, we can know what's coming at the end. God's victory, already won, will be claimed when Christ returns to this earth. So we can know that we may not get exactly what we're asking for when we pray, but we can know that God is there responding. And we may not know the best thing to ask for. We may know what seems best in our eyes, but we may not know the best thing. But we know that there is an almighty, powerful God responding to us when we pray. We can know that. This is who God is. And this is how much He loves us. He does incline His ear to us. In the 40th Psalm, David wrote, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit." And this is what God will do for us. Again, we may not get what we ask for because what we ask for may not be the best thing for us. But we will get what is truly best for us, especially in an eternal perspective. For we are living not for what happens in this world, but what happens in the next. What happens in this world is important. Let me be clear. What happens in this world is important. How we act in this world and what we do in this world is important, but it's not the end. So perhaps I misstated that. We do live for what takes place here, but it's not the end. So our economy, our jobs, our homes, our children are all part of something that is part of eternity. So it doesn't ever fall apart here. That it cannot be put back together in eternity. I have a problem with many that we see preaching on, especially on television, these prosperity news that if you'll just do this, God will reward you here. And they quote Scripture and they blaspheme Scripture. You know, basically, you've heard the story. If you're faithful, God will reward you here with stuff. Not just be rewarded blessings from God, but those blessings will be stuff. That's just not true. Read through the New Testament. Show me someone who didn't live a life that was hard. Look at Stephen. Look at Paul. Tell me these guys didn't walk with God. Tell me these guys weren't obedient and submissive to God. And beaten and whipped and imprisoned and stoned. I hope that's not our future. But Stephen, when he was being stoned, while he was being pelted with rocks, and just to get an image of this, they didn't just throw a handful of rocks at these guys. When they stoned someone, they threw large stones at them until they collapsed, until they fell, until their entire body could not be seen anymore because of the rubble of stones that was covering them. This was a brutal way to go. And in the midst of this, Stephen looked up and said, "Behold, I see the Son of God standing." So we can know that no matter how dire things may seem from an earthly perspective, there is an almighty God standing on your behalf. Standing on your behalf. So I want you to remember that this God whom we serve is the God who created this world by the word of His mouth, spoke things into existence. And let's remember what that looks like. Let's remember how that is. What we have to do to make anything happen. What we have to do to just put anything together. Build a birdhouse, make a cake. Whatever we have to do. And God, by the power of His voice, put the earth into existence. Brought the lakes and the rivers and the mountains and the fish and the elephants into existence. By the word of His mouth. Nothing compares to that. Nothing compares to that. And this is the same God that intervenes in your life, that cares about what you think, what's affecting you, what's hurting you, what brings you joy. That is the same God, the Almighty God. This is who we serve. I asked a few weeks ago that you take some time, and I hope some of you did, to go through the Gospels as we had talked about Jesus. And I'd ask you for this week or the next week or two, just flip through the Psalms and read what David had to say about God. And David's life was not an easy one. Read what David had to say about God. They're real words written by a real man. They're true words written about a true God. We have gone so far in what we can do with the work of our hands. We can do amazing things. You know, airplanes and interspace travel and computers and global positioning systems and all that we've done so far, that I think we have really grown who we are in our own minds as people. But we are not even a minute fraction. We don't possess even the smallest capability compared to the power of God. That God who smiles when you sing to Him is the God that casts the stars into the heavens. And remember, you are the center of His universe. He created the sun and the moon and the stars and all the planets and the third one out from the sun. He set into place so that you would have a place to live. You are the apple of God's eye. This all-powerful, almighty being. You are the thing that brings Him the most joy. You are the one God loves. So again, take some time. Look through the Word of God this week. Hear those words and make them your own. Think about the God that we can't begin to understand and how much He loves us. Think of the God whose ways are indeed so far above ours, and yet, He is interested in everything that interests you. Everything that interests you. It's not that way with people, usually. Someone who impresses us that much usually doesn't care that much about what we think. But the Almighty God cares about you. How much? How much? Amen. So much that He sent His Son to die for you. Why? So that He could spend eternity with you. So He could spend eternity with you. He built a place for us to live, and the day is coming when that new heaven and new earth will come together so that we will spend eternity with God. God wants to spend the rest of His life with you. How about that? How about that? So we should be mindful of who God is. A day shouldn't go by where we're not thinking of God. We shouldn't wait for Sunday to come in and think that there is a God that exists. Every day, His name should be on our lips. Every day, His thoughts should fill our minds. Every day, His praises should echo from our voices. Every day. We can't love Him as much as He loves us, but let us love Him with all we have. Let us worship Let us worship God. Not just here. Worship is not just about coming together and singing and hearing. That is worship. That is a type of worship. But worship is any time we spend focusing on God at the center of our lives. So read some of the Psalms this week, won't you? Read what someone who was the man after God's own heart, what he said about God. Read those words. Read them to God. Open your Bible and read those words to God. Strive to make those words yours. Bring a smile to the face of God. Amen.